going to just pray before we kick off our message today. So you guys join me in the worship team, just praying that God will open our ears for what he has for us today. God, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word and share about you, God. I just pray for each person in this place, God, that you will open our hearts. God, that any baggage or anything that we brought in today, God, will be pushed aside so we can focus on you. God, let your words come out of my mouth. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be you, God. I want to see people free from the things that have kept them bondage, God. I pray that as we kick off this new year, God, that you will be our reason for living, God, that you will be our catalyst to push us forward, God, that we will be in you, God, that we will not look to the past, but we will press to the future. God, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys could be seated. Thank you, worship team. It is an honor to be here today to share with you. My name is Ladina. I'm the pastor of operations here. My water's gone, so that's great. Oh, I think Adam's fixing it because I broke it, I'm pretty sure. But I am so glad to be here this morning. Pastor Anthony allowed me to speak this morning. He is with his family right now, so I'm so excited for them to get away. And we are really blessed to have a pastor who cares about us, and I am so grateful for our pastor. Before we kick off this series, I just want to talk about GLOW a little bit. We had GLOW last week here, our Christmas service. We had 11 people receive Christ. That is awesome. I think that God, that's so amazing. Sometimes we have church and we do this, but that's what it's all about. It's about people getting to know Christ and reaching Jesus for people. We had 4 baptisms, and so that is really amazing and awesome. So let's thank you, God, for that. We are going to be having a newcomer's lunch on January 13th. This is a place, if you just want to know more about, I have been coming to this church for over 9 years, and I love it here. I love the people. I love the team. I love the leadership. I love the community. I love the heartbeat of Fellowship Church. You know, we exist to be a community of grace, love, and hope for those around us, and I see that lived throughout in this community of faith. And so if you're interested in, like, wondering, what is this church all about? Why do you do this? Why are we doing what we're doing? I want to encourage you guys to come to that. It's right after the service on the 13th, and we'll have a lunch for you. There is childcare if you need it. You can sign up on Facebook, or you can write on your connection card if you're interested. Just lets us know how many people are coming so we can make sure that we have enough food for everyone. Like I said, my name is Ladina Doherty. I'm the pastor of operations here at Fellowship Church, which is a fancy way of saying that I just make sure we have programs, and I have an amazing office team that comes in during the week and puts things together, takes care of things. I'm just kind of behind the scenes, and I really enjoy doing that kind of stuff. I've been working at the church for about 5 years. I started off as a youth pastor. God transitioned me a little bit into a different role here, and it's been really exciting and fun to see God work through my life. I am married for 14 years to my husband, Ryan. He does our FC Online stuff, and so if you ever can't make it, but you want to see Watch Church, you're able to do that because he has an FC Online team that does an amazing job getting our message out there so people can hear, and we really believe that there are some people who just won't come into the church. They won't come into the doors, and so we want to make sure that the Word of God is able to get to them in their comfortable place so they can meet God. And so that's amazing. He's a pretty amazing guy. I have 3 kids, Josh, Brianna, and David, and they're amazing. They're a handful. If you've been around here at all, I'm sure you've heard David scream a couple times already this morning, and I'm sure you've seen several fights out in the lobby. So, but I love them. They're amazing. It's exciting to have them. We adopted them about 5 years ago, and so it's been a fun, exciting ride for us. We are kicking off a new series here at Fellowship Church. We just got done with our Powerful Prayers of the Bible, and we are going to be starting this We Are series. And I'm so excited for this series because we message plan. We have a planning team that gets together, we pray, we ask God, where do you want us to go as a church? And he gives us what we're going to talk about. And so we just prayed about it, and God said, you know, this is what I want you guys to talk about. And this whole series is about We Are. So we are children of God. We are who are we as Christians? How can we live out our faith? And so I'm really super excited about how I can share with you today. We are dead to sin. That's what we're going to be talking about. Before we get started, I'm going to tell you a story, a funny story, actually, but I'm thirsty. Plus, I have to slow down. So my cue people, I can't really see you, so you're going to have to kind of make a bigger scene than what I said. So about 7 or 8 years ago, my husband and I got a new vehicle because he got into an accident. Wasn't my fault. So we had to get a new car. And this was like a little sporty car. It was a Chevy Cobalt, nothing too fancy. But it was like, I felt like a race car driver in it. You know, I kind of drifted a little bit sometimes on accident. But it was a sporty little, spunky little car, and I enjoyed driving it. At the time, I worked in Portland, so I was commuting. And so I guess it was longer than 7 or 8 years ago, because long time. Anyways, but I worked in Portland, and I was commuting back and forth, and we had a Dodge Durango, so it didn't make sense for me to drive the Durango anymore. I then decided it makes more sense for me to take the little car. So I'm driving my little car. I love this car. It's fun. It's fast. I didn't speed, though, so don't worry about that, but I did. I loved it. One day, I was going out to my car to go to work, and it just wouldn't start. It was dead, and I was just like, so annoyed. If you know me at all, I'm pretty easygoing. I'm not really, I don't stress out a lot or anything. So I was like, Ryan, the car's not working. And he was like, great. So we tried to figure out what was wrong with this car. We're like, okay, maybe it's this, this, or this. Finally, we get it jumped. So I drive it to Portland because I have to go to work. So we're like, it's working for a while, working. I go to get gas and it doesn't start. Just dead right there in the gas station a few weeks later. And I'm like, honey, the car died in the gas station. So excited about it. Going to get gas. My voice probably was getting higher, probably a little louder this time than the first time. But I was just like so annoyed with this car. It died again, the battery, dead. So we're trying to figure out what's wrong with it. We're doing these different tests, just kind of trying to figure it all out. The third time, now most people would have been like, okay, Lydia, three times. I like to live on the edge, so the third time, my car, this little sports car I like to drive around, I was going to the Kaiser Station and turning to go to Kaiser Station and completely died in the middle of the intersection. I was so excited about this one. Cars are coming, people are giving me the nice one-finger wave, I'm getting yelled at, honked at, I'm like crying, you know. I couldn't figure out what was going on, got out of a tow truck. Tow truck drivers are great, but a little scary riding in them sometimes. If you don't, you know, it's a little freaky, but I love tow truck drivers. They're great. Saved my life there. So this car just, it kept dying. And this story was brought to my mind when I was getting ready for this message. And God just really brought it to my mind. Anthony was like, your introduction's a little short. You need to be praying and asking God to give you something. And immediately, I thought of this story. I was like, oh, yeah. I remember that car. By the way, the car was fixed. I T-boned somebody. We never had to drive it again. So that's what happened to the car. But I was like, why does this car keep dying? Why does it keep happening? Why does this keep dying? I mean, I'm driving this car. You know, most people the first time would have been like, oh, man, that stinks. Second time probably would have taken it into like a mechanic. Not me again. I like to live on the edge. You know, by the third time, you're like, Ladina, why did you get into the car? This car is not reliable. This car has a tendency to die all the time. But sometimes, this reminds me of sometimes how we keep living in sin. Sometimes we just want to keep getting in that car, driving that car, because it's cool. We like it. It feels good at the time. But God has a different plan for us. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, God's plan for us and how he wants us to be free from sin. But we don't have to be stuck like I was stuck in that car. You don't have to be stuck in your sin. And this message, as I was preparing it and thinking about it and just praying and asking God, like, how can I convey this, being dead to sin? Because that's what we're talking about today, being dead to sin. And how can I convey this in a way that's not like condemning or, you know, people can immediately shut off because talking about sin is, no one wants to hear about that. No one wants a mirror put in front of them and being like, look what you're doing wrong. I don't like that. And God really started to work on my heart. And he reminded me that, you know, I usually respond in two ways. And I don't know if you're like me or not, but these are kind of the two ways that I respond. When I think about sin and how I want to live and what I want to do, I immediately think about a list of all the things I can or cannot do. We think about, oh, I'm a Christian now, so I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Oh, I can do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, but I can do this. So I just want to encourage you to, like, tear that list up and throw it away, because that's not what it's about. The second thing I think about is condemnation. And that is not from God. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there is no condemnation. And when I was thinking about being dead to sin, I immediately thought about all the things that I'm doing wrong. Everything that I'm doing wrong, everything that is against me, all these things in my mind immediately came to my mind and how of a terrible person I am and all this stuff. And God's like, whoa. It's not about that. So as we dig into this message, I really want us just to throw away those preconceived notions that we have about what it means to be dead to sin and what that will look like and what that looks like for us. I don't want to let condemnation keep you from what God wants to do in your heart today. We are going to kick off our message in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Funny story about this chapter. I had to memorize this whole chapter. I cannot say it from memory, so don't ask me. But I had to memorize it for school for a project, and it was just comical that I had to. Ryan's like, can you still say it? No, but I know it. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to start. And Paul wrote this, and he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And verse 2 says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And so Paul's asking the question here. He's asking, is it our job to keep sinning? Are we to continue to live in this sin? And if you actually look at the phrase here, are we to continue in sin? It's practicing habitual sin is what he's talking about. He's not talking about when we mess up, when we make mistakes, because we're human. We're all going to make mistakes. I am not perfect. I make mistakes all the time. I will be the first one to tell you that. And I continually am asking God for forgiveness. God, forgive me. Oh, man, I messed up again. Forgive me. I messed up again. But this is talking about making a practice out of habitual sin. So we're doing it habitually. We're practicing sin. And it says, so that we may have the grace of God. By no means. He says, no, that is not the purpose of God's grace. And God's grace is getting exactly what we don't deserve. Getting exactly what we don't deserve, yes. We as humans deserve death and punishment for our sin. But you know what? God loved us so much that he sent his son for us to die on the cross, to take our punishment. So we don't have to have that anymore. That is grace. That is God's love. That is what his love showed us, that grace. And so Paul is saying, don't keep taking advantage of God's grace. Don't keep making habits and practicing sin. Don't keep living in your sin. God doesn't want you trapped in that. He doesn't want you stuck there. He wants us to have freedom. And we're going to talk about that a lot, freedom, a lot today. Because that's where God wants us to be. Romans 6, we're going to go down to verse 3. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And if you first read this, it's easy to think, I do not know what's happening right now. It's easy to think, am I doing that? It's easy to think that, I think this is too close to my mouth. It's easy to think that, I'm sorry, that's awkward. It's easy to think that baptism saves us. It's easy to think that when we ask Jesus in our heart and we get baptized and we go under the water, our sins are washed away by the baptism of the water. But Paul is using the allusion or the analogy of baptism, he's using that to explain what happens to us spiritually. Because when we ask Jesus in our heart, when we become followers of Christ, we are dying to our old self. We are no longer our old man, or we are no longer, when God looks at us, he no longer sees a filthy, wretched person. He sees us through the blood of Christ. He sees a new, clean person. And then it says, being buried with Christ, Jesus was in the tomb. He was put in the tomb. He was buried. He conquered death, and we want to kill our old man. So we don't want to keep living the same way. When you ask Jesus in your heart and you become a Christ follower, you don't want to keep the same patterns that you had before. There should be a change there. It says, coming out of the water represents being a new creation raised to life with Christ. And that's what it's all about, coming out of the water, that new creation. Paul points out that you can't die and rise again without changing your life. And I think I've said this before, is that when you plant, if you know anything about gardening, a seed has to completely die before it can grow new. And when we ask Christ in our life, we need to die to ourselves. We need to die to our sin. We need to completely allow ourselves to be stripped away of everything that we are so that Christ can fill us with who he is. That is where we should be. And I know it's easy. You're like, easier said than done. I get that. I know that. But that's what our strive should be. A little bit later, we're going to be talking and looking about some ways that Paul gives us to make some of those changes in our life that we need to change. But I was just thinking about, like, I wasn't even thinking that it was the new year. I was have 100 million things on my mind usually at one time. And so yesterday I was just reading over this and thinking about it and praying over it, and God just reminded me that, like, it is the start of a new year. And I am not one for resolutions. I can just tell you that. I make them, and then, like, 12:01, I eat a cookie or something. I don't know. And so, great, there goes my diet resolution. So I'm not really big on making New Year's resolutions. I think that they can be great and they can be powerful. But this year, God really encouraged me. He's like, make family goals, or make a goal, like a life goal. So it's not like, oh, this is, I'm going to start at the new year, but this is what I want this year to be through Christ. Put God in the center of that. Like, make that our goal. I know this last year for me has been super hard, and I've been through a lot, and I know a lot of you guys have probably been through a lot as well. But I just want to encourage you this next year, let's stop living bound by our sin, tied to these chains that we allow to hold us down, and live in the freedom and the amazingness that God has for us. Because as Christians, sometimes I think we get apathetic and we forget that we serve a living God who has saved us, who has called us, who has redeemed us, who has spilled his blood for us, and we don't have to live those lies that the enemy tries to pour on us. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That's what his word says. His word is living. His word is true. It is powerful. It can change our lives. We need to start taking the Bible and actually reading it and applying it and walking in it as believers of Christ. That is what he's called us to do as Christians. That's what we are supposed to be doing. So I want to encourage you guys this year, let's make that our goal as a followers of Christ. Let's make that our goal. Let's make that our life goal of living in freedom and living more than conquerors through Christ. Sorry, I got a little excited there. We're going to move down to Romans 6:5-10. And this is kind of a big passage, so I'm going to read it, and then I'll break it down and probably reread it a couple more times. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we are no longer enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." Verse 8 says, "Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And so looking over this passage, we can see that Paul is talking about our old self was crucified. So when we accepted Christ, our old self was crucified. We were liberated from sin. We no longer have to walk in it or be slaves to it. It doesn't control us any longer. It doesn't have authority over us any longer. Sin has no authority over you. Just think about that for a second. Because you do not have to live in it. You do not have to walk in it, and you do not have to hold on to it. It does not define who you are. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. This is good news. You don't have to be controlled any longer by it. I'm going to reread half of verse 6 to verse 7. It says, well, I'm just going to read verse 6. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So you're free this morning. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, if you're a Christ follower, you're free. It does not have any power over you any longer. So let's stop getting stuck there. Let's stop getting worried about this, this, and this, but just start simply focusing on how to be free in Christ. How can we have that freedom? In verses 11 through 12, it says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So Paul is really trying to encourage us, and sometimes, like I said, it's easy to read this passage and be like, oh, messed up there, well, messed up there. But just try not to do that here, because this whole point of this is so that we can become free. So it doesn't help us to make it pour it more on ourselves. The whole point of it is to say, you know what? I'm free, and to walk away, not to wallow in that. This talks about let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. I was thinking about this, and I was just thinking about how my natural desire as a human is to want to sin. That's our human natural desire. And we have to fight against that as Christians, as followers of Christ. We have to fight against that daily. And some days I lose my fight, and some days I win. But we have to fight against that. It's not easy. But my spirit wants to obey Christ. My heart, I want to do the right thing. I want to obey what God says. I want Jesus to be, you know, happy with me and proud of me, and I want to do the right thing. But sometimes I get caught up and I get stuck in my sin. I get stuck in this place where I forget that I am free. I have the freedom that God has granted me. And I don't have to live there in that pit. I don't have to get in the car and drive it. I can say, you know what, Ryan? You take this car. I'm taking the Durango today, okay? You don't have to take the dead battery, okay? We don't need to be walking around as zombies. God doesn't want that. He wants living, free people. Many of us today are not living in freedom Jesus offers because of a lot of different reasons. Some of them are unbelief or self-reliance. We think that we can do it ourselves. You can't earn your salvation. You can't do enough good things to win God's love. You can't be your best person. You can't do those things. God, it's grace. It's a gift. He's given it to you. It cost him dearly. It wasn't a free gift that he paid the price, though. So we don't have to pay that price. We just thank him, and we press in, and we listen to him, and we do what he's called us to do, and we walk in freedom. We don't walk in condemnation. Sometimes, like I said, we keep ourselves trapped mentally and trapped in this idea that we can't get out. And sometimes you hear about it sometimes, people that are in prison or have ended up in jail, sometimes when they've been in prison for a long time or people have been held captive for a long time, they don't know how to live free. So they still think like prisoners. They still feel like they're trapped or they have no way to go, nowhere to go. But if we look at what God tells us, if we look about His word and what He says to us, we can see that He tells us that we are free, and that we can change our mindset, we can change our thinking, that we are not trapped. We're free. That's amazing. That's good news. Romans 6, verses 13 through 14 says, "Do not present your members as instruments of sin." Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are under grace. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read it slower so that we can hear what God is saying to us through this passage. Says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. I have a passage in John I'm going to read. It's not on the screen. But in John 8, verses 24 through 36, it says, Jesus answered to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, and everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever." So Jesus remains forever. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You hear that this morning? That you are free indeed. If the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. The sin has no dominion over you. When I think about dominion, I think about like rule or kingdoms. And I found this really interesting story about two brothers, and it's about 14th century, where is Belgium is now, and this is kind of an interesting story, and so just bear with me. It's very interesting. So it's a story of two brothers, and the older one was known because he was like ginormous and grossly overweight and fat and huge and just this big, giant person. And the younger brother was jealous of him, and he wanted to rule his kingdom. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be the duke in charge. And so the younger brother led a revolt against the older brother. And he ended up overtaking him, and he didn't kill him, but what he did is that he imprisoned him in a room, and he didn't lock the door. It was a door. This guy was so big he couldn't fit through a regular sized door, and so the door was just a little bit probably smaller than a normal door, and just one window and one door. It wasn't locked, and this guy, his brother told him, his younger brother said, you can rule anytime you want. All you have to do is come out of this room, and you can have your kingdom back. You can be established back to where you were. And so the little brother knew what the older brother's weakness was. And the obstacle to freedom for the older brother was not the doors or the windows, but it was himself. Because he was so overweight, he couldn't fit through the door, like I said. And I get that, you know. Treats and snacks, that's me right here, you know. The little brother knew that the older brother would have to do was diet to go smaller so he can get through the door. So he would send in like treats and snacks like Kidderai cake and day night donuts and those things. He would send them to the older brother. And the older brother kept eating it because his desire for food was more important than his desire for freedom. His desire for food was more important than his desire for freedom and to eat. And that made me, I was reading that story and I just thought, oh my goodness, I can relate to that. Not only about like cakes and sweets like Kidderai, like I'll probably be there today, but there's amazing cakes there, just so you know. It's great. But also just like how I get stuck sometimes. My desire for sin, is it greater than my desire for Christ? Do I desire this because it's fun more that I desire my life with Christ and what he has for me? Am I this older brother who has the ability to walk out those doors, but I'm keeping myself trapped? Because God made the way for our freedom already. We've already talked about that. We've established that, that God made the way for our freedom. But how many times does our appetite for sin keep us imprisoned? How many times do we allow that to hold us back from what God has for us? Because the Bible says that you can't serve two masters. You will either love one or hate the other. You can't have that. You have to choose one or the other. So all this is a lot of information. It's a lot of stuff. Like, we're free. We can live in freedom. We have this ability. We can do this. God's given us this ability. But like, how? How do we do that? It's easy to stand up here and be like, just stop sinning and you'll be fine. Okay, bye. Have a nice week. See you next weekend. But, you know, that's not practical because we're human and we make mistakes and we mess up all the time. I'm the same way. But again, are you practicing habitual sin? Are you looking for ways to go out of your way to do that? Paul says here, he says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And so I was thinking about, what does that mean? What does that look like? What are our members? Well, it's our eyes, our ears, our hands, our mouths, our minds. Those are our members of our body. Those are practical things that we can look at and pick out there. You know, are we presenting those as instruments of sin, of unrighteousness? Maybe instead of listening to gossip, you shut it down. Or instead of gossiping about somebody, you pray about them. Or instead of clicking on the computer, you pray and ask God or seek out wisdom or counsel or worship instead of looking at those images you shouldn't be looking at. How can we tangibly use our instruments, our bodies, our members for instruments of praise and of worship and to God versus instruments of sin? The Bible says that it's not enough to keep our body from sinning. We need to present ourselves. So you have to actively try. You can't just sit here and be like, I'm just not going to sin. I'm just not going to sin. You have to take some steps. You can't earn your salvation, but you do have to work it out. You do have to take some steps. You have to choose to get up or to get out of the car or to walk through the door or to step away from that sin, to step away from that pattern in life. So sometimes that's a hard transition. For me, it's hard. I don't like change. And so sometimes it's easier for me. I get stuck in a rut. It's easier for me to just keep doing it because it's easy or simple. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to stand up. We're called to walk where it's hard to walk. Look at Jesus' life. He didn't take the easy road. He took the hard road. And he calls us to do the same. He didn't call us to take the easy road. You thought being a Christian and asking Jesus in your heart was like the end all, and you're like, okay, smooth sailing. Newsflash, it's not easy. It's hard. It's probably one of the hardest decisions you've ever made, but it's probably going to be the best decision you've ever made. Not probably. It is the best decision you've ever made. There's hope for that. And I want to encourage you guys today to learn that freedom, gain that freedom for yourself. What does God have for you in that freedom? In verse 14 in Romans, we just read it, it says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are under grace. So I was thinking about, what has dominion over me right now? Does anger have dominion over me right now? Does murmuring or complaining, covetousness, does pride or laziness, or, you know, what has dominion over me? What am I looking at? What sin do I need to walk away from? What do I have carrying on my back and walking it around? You know, what am I allowing to have dominion over me? So I want us to be thinking about that this morning. What are you allowing to have dominion over you? There's encouragement for hope and strength in the battle against sin. God, like I said, he does not condemn us. He doesn't condemn us. He has set us free. And so this morning, as we are getting ready to wrap up this message, we need to keep looking at that and keep thinking about, are you keeping yourself locked up? What are you allowing to keep you locked up? What are you allowing to keep you away from what God has called you to do? What sin are you toying with or playing with over here on the side, but still trying to, you know, I want to please God, but I just don't want to move my hand out of this cookie jar. Get your hand out of the cookie jar, okay? You don't have to carry it alone. Jesus already, he's right there. He is literally standing beside you, like waiting for you to grab his hand so he can pull you out. But so many times, we're just like, I got this, I'll carry it, I'll do it myself. And we put sin, and we carry it around like dead weight. And I was just thinking about that term, dead weight. You know, because it's really fun to research about Roman practices of punishment, how the Romans used to punish people. It's not fun. It is disgusting. They were very cruel, very cruel. The Roman Empire was very cruel how they treated criminals. And people that had committed crimes against the empire were brutalized by being nailed to a cross, usually naked, ridiculed, spit, mocked on. Seem to remember something happened to someone once. But there was still one punishment that they had that was reserved for the worst of the worst. It was the most unimaginable, disgusting, horrific thing you could ever think of. And what they would do is people, these people were hated, and they were, they had to carry around, like, literally a dead body. And most of the time, they would sew it to the person. Sometimes on their back, sometimes on their front. Disgusting. I'm sorry if that grosses you out. But I really want you to get this image because I think it's important to see what sin does to us. Carrying around sin, what it does to us. So these people would carry around this dead weight. And they were forced, for the last few weeks they were alive, to carry on this rotting, dead flesh. And they would have to smell that decompose. They would have to have it strapped to them. And you would, the poisons, everything would leak onto the living person until it would consume the living person and they would die. And if the Romans wanted to be especially nice, they would feed the person that was living to make them live longer. So they would have to endure it longer. And we think about that image and it's disgusting and it's gross. That is what we do. We do that to ourselves. When we're carrying around that sin, when we're carrying on that dead weight, we are carrying on that rotting thing, those things that are holding us onto us. We are not giving up to God. We are not healthy. We are not whole. We're rotting. Jesus does not want you to be rotting. He wants you to be free. He wants you to have freedom in him and stop and walk away. Get out of the car. Get out of the room. Stop letting things trap you and keep you trapped. I was asked to share about being dead to sin, and I was excited about it, but the more I thought about it, I was like, I don't want this to be like doom and gloom. That's not what I want. I don't like to give those kind of messages. But the more I thought about it, it is not doom and gloom because there's hope. Because we have the choice to have freedom. We have liberty in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. What do we have to do? Choose it. Say, I'm going to take off the dead weight, God. I'm going to stop. Is it going to be easy? No. Especially if you've been doing it for a long time. We have habits and we commit. When we do things over and over and over again, they become habits, and habits are hard to break. But it's also true for the opposite. When you make good habits, you do the right thing over and over again, it becomes a habit. And those habits are good to keep. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. We're going to do some more worshiping. The worship team's going to come. And we're going to just do some reflecting because I think it's important for us to reflect and find out, God, what do we do with all this? Ladina just talked about all this stuff. But God, what do I do? Where do I go from here? And today, as we close up, I just want us to be, when we worship, I want you to think about, God, what do I need to do? Do I need to surrender my life to you? And maybe you've never done that today. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you've never asked him in your heart. Maybe you're not a Christian. Well, today's the day. The Bible says today's the day for salvation. And it will be hard, and it's not easy, but it is worth it. Maybe some of you are here today and you need to get rid of some dead weight. We're going to have people that are going to be praying for you, that can pray for you after service today, that want to pray with you and lift you up and support you. Go get prayer if you need prayer for someone. Maybe some of you here today need to walk away from some sin. Get out of the car and stop doing what you're doing, because you know that you can't have it both ways. You know that you can't live both ways. Maybe God's calling you to something and he's saying it's time for you to stand up and it's time for you to move away and to walk into what I have for you. So today, instead of beating yourself up, ask for forgiveness and start walking the way that God has for you. Next week, we're going to talk about being alive in Christ, and I am so excited to hear about that message. I'm so excited to see what that will look like for us. But we can't be alive in Christ if you are not dead to your sin. Because death and life, they can't coexist. You have to be alive. And in order to be alive, you have to kill the sin. You have to be dead to your sin. So I'm going to pray over our message and we're going to sing. God, I just thank you so much. I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you that we can come here and listen to your word. God, I pray for each person in this room tonight, today, God. I pray that if we came in here carrying around dead weight, God, that you will help us to just walk away from it. God, I pray that for those in here today that are struggling, Lord, that feel like there's no hope, that it's hopeless, God, that you will help them to see hope and to see a light and to know that there is freedom in you. God, I pray for people that maybe they're not struggling with sin, or maybe, you know, they're doing okay, God. I just pray, God, for this next year that they will not be apathetic, God, but they will press in. And they won't be satisfied with the crumbs on the floor, God, but they'll come to the table that you have prepared for them. And God, that we will be a people of defining purpose, God, for you. God, that we will be who you've called us to be as followers of Christ. That we won't shy away from the hard stuff, God, but we will press in and we will walk through it and we will grow strong through you, because you have made us that way, God, because you are inside of us and because you are our light. God, I pray that any heaviness or brokenness, God, today, that you will begin to just take that away from people, God, and that you will show them the sense of peace and of freedom. We just thank you and praise you, God, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.